This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
Today, I have the pleasure to introduce to you a great friend of the Lighthouse family, Arnie Halverson. And Arnie and his wife, Carolyn, have been serving in Romania for over 15 years. And they're involved in many ministries, including the Bible Institute, which they started, I believe, about 10 years ago. And that institute raises up pastors to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, to people in Romania and throughout the world. And they also have many outreach opportunities where they meet the spiritual and physical needs of the people of Romania. Many wonderful things that they're doing in Romania. And every time I've had the pleasure of hearing Arnie speak, he has brought a powerful message of how God is working in the lives of the people of Romania. And I look forward to hearing what he has to share today with us. So let's give a warm welcome to Arnie Halverson.
Well, thank you so much. I just want to say this. God bless Lighthouse Christian Center. God bless the people of Lighthouse, and God bless the pastors and staff. Why do I start that way? Because you have been a great blessing to my wife Carolyn and I personally, and to the people of Romania through your support, through your prayers, through your encouragement, through your gifts. I want to give you a little report about some of the things that God has been doing since we were here last, and I sense that God's been doing some things here as well. We serve a God who is living and who is at work, and in these days, it seems like he's working in some special ways, and we praise God for that he has matched us with these exciting days. This last year, in fact, this last couple months have been very eventful in our ministry, and let me just bring you up to date on some of the things that have happened very recently, and then I want to share a little bit from the Word of God and tell what to me is an amazing story of transformation that just took place in recent days. Well, in the last couple months, here are some of the things that have happened. We had the unique opportunity to send a team of our graduates, Romanians, who are evangelists and musicians and soccer players. We've had three professional soccer players come to our Bible school and go through our program. And the Lord, in that part of the world, can really use soccer players, because that is the big thing over there. They don't understand baseball, and I wonder sometimes if they understand it too much up here in the Northwest. I can't talk too loudly because our home when we're in the States is in San Diego, and the two worst teams in baseball, I can't get it out of my mouth, but I was born in Seattle, see, so that's my second favorite team. And the Padres, since I live there now, that's my first favorite. And somehow they're just not doing the job. But soccer in Europe and in Romania and in all that part of the world is the big thing. So we had the privilege of sending a team into Albania. Now, Albania is the country, the only country that I know in the history of our world, that into its constitution wrote, "There is no God." Albania was officially an atheistic nation. And because of that, Albania really became the most impoverished nation in all of that part of the world. Romania was tough enough, and under communism and the dictator Nicolae Ceausescu, Romania was a very grim place, but just about 400 or 500 miles to the east, Albania was even worse. So what an amazing thing that Romanian young people would have a mission and take the gospel into Albania. Our team was amazed because they'd never been there before, and in fact, it's very rare for Romanians to even be able to get out of the country. That was not possible to get out of the country legally under communism. Now there's more freedom, but Romanians have not had the kind of resources that would send them out of the country until very recently. Now some of our graduates are serving in Africa, in Spain, other places. But this was unique. A soccer team and a children's evangelism team and a music worship team going into Albania. They didn't know quite what to expect. When they arrived there, they saw in the city square large billboards and others around town, billboards like 14 by 12 feet, welcoming them and encouraging the youth in Albania to participate in these soccer camps and the evangelism activities. And so the mayor somehow heard that Americans and Romanians were coming and got behind it, and so 160 youth registered, and many of them gave their hearts to the Lord. The men that we'd been training for the last 12 years now became foreign missionaries, and this is a thrilling thing for us. So that's one thing that just happened actually in July. Also in July, at our conference center, we conducted children's camps and youth camps. And at our teenage camp, kids came from really all over Western Romania. And we had 60 young people, 60 teenagers, receive the Lord or rededicate their lives to the Lord at that camp. So we're grateful that God is at work in Romania. You know, the scriptures make it clear that God reaches out to the oppressed and that God has a heart for those who've been downtrodden. And under communism, the people, the Christians in Romania began to cry out for deliverance, just as we see in the Word of God. And God is bringing that, and we're grateful to have a part in that. We also have begun in the last 2 years a new program. There is a part of Romania, it's in the southwestern part, called Oltenia. Oltenia is the most unevangelized part of Romania. It's also the part where there is more witchcraft than any other part of Romania, and it's the poorest part. People sometimes avoid it because it's kind of miserable down there. But the Lord began sending us students from Oltenia who were coming to be trained. And little by little, we began to feel a drawing toward that area. Now, we have opened up in the last 2 years two satellite Bible schools down in Oltenia, and we have 25 students in one and 15 in another. And these are not children, these are men. I think the average men and some women, some children's workers. I think the average age in the schools is somewhere right around 30 or 32 years old. Most of them are serving in churches in this remote part of the country, but have never had any training. And when you get Romanians teaching and preaching without any substantial training, it's a very dangerous thing because anything can come out. So we felt like the Lord sent us there to this area for a very strategic time and purpose. Now, because of these schools, which have already begun to plant some churches, the others have heard about it and have asked us to open a third school, which we plan to do this fall. So you can pray for us with regard to our satellite school program. It's a thrilling thing for me. Some of you have known me for a while. As a matter of fact, my Uncle Harold is here tonight. I haven't seen him since last year. He's 94 years old, and on Wednesday, I think he had a new pacemaker put in. He's probably good for at least another 10 years, Harold, and I expect perhaps more than that. We're asking God to show us exactly the best place to open this new school, and so we can reach people over quite a wide area that have been requesting more training. So all of these things are possible because you and others like you have supported this ministry. And so that's why I say God bless Lighthouse, God bless you, and thank you so much for making it possible for us to do the Lord's work and reach out to people who are needy. Now, in June, my wife and I had the privilege of being the pastors on a tour that took us to Greece, Egypt. I climbed Mount Sinai. Well, I'll be honest, I went halfway up on a camel. And now I want to tell you, if you ever have the opportunity to ride a camel over a long and difficult terrain, don't do it. I got off halfway, walked the rest of the way. It's 7,200 feet high, and walked all the way down. And the camel ride was definitely the toughest part of the whole thing, although the whole thing was tough. But it was a magnificent experience, and I wish I could tell you all about that. But for me, it was tremendous. I've studied. I've been the director of the Bible school for the last 12 years. I pastored for 17 years. I've studied, really, the Bible nearly all of my life. And I've always been fascinated with that part of the country where God came down and spoke with Moses, where he revealed himself, where he revealed his will to the people. And to be there was, for me, an awesome experience. So if you have a chance to go, go, but I question the camel ride, okay? Then we traveled up into Israel, and we, of course, did all of the things in Israel, and that was a magnificent experience, too. We traveled to Sea of Galilee, stayed on a kibbutz on the southern shore of the Sea of Galilee, and that was very enjoyable. Then we traveled up the western shore and went to the Mount of Beatitudes. Now, my messages when I come year by year may not be so very memorable, but Jesus spoke there a message which was very, very memorable, and I want to share a little part of it with you. By the way, I said Jesus spoke a message there. I was moved as we were singing, and we sang songs with the theme. Said, we exalt that name, and we lift up that name, And we're talking as we came here and praying with the roadies. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. And the angel met with Mary and said, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus means. He is a Savior. He is the Savior. So as we gather together, we gather in the name of Jesus. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. And nobody ever spoke like Jesus. Nobody ever did the things that Jesus did. And we're followers of his. And we're not ashamed of his name. We're proud to bear his name and to be called Christians and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter 5, we read the words of Jesus as he gave this message, which is called the Sermon on the Mount. And he gave some, they're called Beatitudes, beautiful attitudes for us. With every one of them, he also gave a promise. So just listen to this, and then I'm going to make an application of this to a very thrilling thing that happened just this spring in Romania. Now, when he saw the crowds, that is Jesus, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now I want to share with you one verse about the Word of God. We find it in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I'll give it to you in English, and then I'll give it to you in Romanian. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The first part in Romanian says, Cuvântul lui Dumnezeu este viu și lucrător. Este viu și lucrător. It's alive, it's living, and lucrător means, lucru is work. Lucrător means it works. The Word of God works. I hope you've discovered that in your life. That when you apply the Word of God, it works. It's got principles about finance, principles about relationship, principles about how to use your tongue, all kinds of principles. And when we apply it, it works. It says it's able to do what nothing else can do. It can divide and show us what there is that's of the spirit, what there is that's going to last, what there is that's just of the flesh, or what there is that's of the soul. The Word of God is powerful, it's alive, and it works. And I want to tell you about how it worked in really an amazing way in Romania. Because of your giving, your encouragement, and really two teams that you sent to Romania last year, this church sent two teams of about 10 to 12 people each. Because of that, we have built and dedicated in the last, since November, or in the last 8 months or so, we have dedicated two new churches in Romania. Beautiful new churches, by the way. And we've placed pastors in those churches to serve them. And God is at work, and we're so grateful. One of those churches is in the village of Domashna, a village which was known for its witchcraft, a village in which the priest bragged that no repenters, that's what they call us, evangelical Christian. He said, no repenters will ever be able to preach in this village. There'll never be a repenter church in this village. And it was filled with witchcraft, also a great deal of pride, because this particular village was kind of a rich village, lots of very fertile farmland around it. The people hated the priest because they knew that he was the biggest liar and thief in the village, but he held them bondage. If you wanted to be married, buried, baptized, have any what they call blessing on your house or your household, he was the only game in town. And so this has been a 13 or 14 year old struggle in Domashna, because the very first night I was in Romania way back in 1993, the Lord put it on my heart, although I didn't know that town from any other town, put it on my heart to bring the gospel there. Now I know why. There was a little lady, 76 year old lady, who prayed for 35 years that someone would bring the gospel to her village, the only believer in that town. And so when I traveled through that, the Lord said, I want you to bring the word of God here. It was a great thrill, as you can imagine, on the 4th of May, was it, honey? On the 4th of May, we opened that church, dedicated the church. The priest threatened the people, told them they weren't to go to the church, they weren't to go near the church. However, the church was full, 165 people in the church. The courtyard outside the church was full. There were 115 people in the courtyard. And then around the courtyard, lined up against the buildings across the street, were others who were afraid of the priest, so they wouldn't come in, but they wanted to see what was happening. They wanted to hear the message, and we helped them do that by putting loudspeakers outside. So we rejoice that God helped us open that church in Domashna. Pray for that. The pastor is an on fire, tremendous young man. His name is Moise. And he's doing a terrific job. We're looking forward to having the first baptism in the history of that town soon. As soon as we can get water and baptistry finished. And those are the only things, I won't say those are the only things left, but those things are left to do to bring some plumbing into the church. But we're on our way. And Satan is losing his grip in Domashna. And I'd like to tell you more about that, but I want to tell you about the other church. And you've already heard some about the church in Rost. Rost is where a flood came a year ago last spring and destroyed, the Danube flooded and destroyed many, many homes there. And this is where 20 or more of your people have been with us there and worked and built a church. And this is a unique situation. You see, the whole town was moved to higher ground. What I mean is they wanted it to be safe from any further flooding, and there was just a big flat field about 5 miles from the old town. And there, in the last year and a half, they've built 1,200 homes, and they put in roads, and I'd like to say water and sewer, but maybe those things will come. But they built 1,200 homes, and so here is a brand new community, and the community is unique in that everyone there lost just about everything they had in the old village. Needy, needy people. And somehow there are lots of children up there. So when we put our pastor, Addy, and his new bride, Monica, up there, they began, along with their other ministries, a children's ministry. Well, I think the first time they had a children's work there, 94 children showed up. I mean, this is an amazing thing for a brand new little village. You were there, Catherine. And those children, they'd never had a Sunday school. They'd never seen a flannel graph lesson. I guess maybe some of you never have either, but that's the way children's ministry used to be done, and that's the way it's done still, where there's no electricity and no vegetables speaking the gospel or whatever in the world that is. How you get saved by a radish, I don't know, but that's, I guess it happens, you know. We used to eat them. Now you get saved listening to them. Well, praise God. So anyway, they started this children's ministry. And here's another unique thing about the village of Rost. Because it's new, there's no industry, no businesses there, many of the adults go outside of the country to work. Spain, for instance, has opened its doors to Romanian workers, and most of them work in agriculture in Spain or in Germany and some of the other countries taking care of elderly people. Romanians are great caregivers. And so many of the parents have left, and the children are left either with the grandmother or, frankly, they're kind of on their own sometimes, running wild. And our pastor's wife there, Monica, she's about 21 years old now. They were just married a year ago last April, and she began a program feeding some of the small children, because can you imagine 2-year-old or less than 2-year-old children, no parents, and the grandmother goes into the field to work, and these children are left alone all day. Now, she maybe has a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old older brother or sister who tries to take care of them, but some of them also just didn't have food. So Moni started feeding these children, and you'll see some pictures perhaps if you stop by the little display that we have out there of the children of Rost, and they are precious. But some weren't quite as precious as others. And I want to tell you about Alex and his brother Dennis. Now, there are 4 children in the family. Alina is 7 years old, a lovely little girl. Alex, 6 years old, kind of a 6-year-old stick of dynamite. And his younger brother, Dennis, the menace, 5 years old. Alina, 7, Alex, 6, Dennis, 5. And then they've got one other little one. I don't know the name. And Alex and Dennis, their parents were in Spain. Maybe it was just as well, because they were really rough people. I mean, the father's name is Damasquin, and I say father and mother, they'd never been married. They had 4 children, never had been married. They were just really, really rough, primitive people. And they were in Spain working, this little family, alone with their grandmother, who also would go in the field and work. Well, Alex and Dennis, as you can imagine, became pure and simply the worst boys in town. They were just little ruffians and worse. They would, 6 years old, they can't read yet, and five, but they could swear. They'd swear, they would steal, they would beat each other, and they would beat the other kids. They're just the worst kids in town. But because the children's work is the only thing going in town for children, they came with, all the kids came to the children's meetings. Alex and Dennis and Alina. And so Monica gives them an assignment to memorize the Beatitudes. Now we're talking about kids who cannot even read yet. But, and some of you who were on the work team, I think, may have experienced what I experienced. I was up on the roof of the church as we were finishing it, working on the cupola there in Rost, and I saw a little pack of kids going by on the street below, and they were saying something. They were talking, but not exactly talking to each other, and so I put down my hammer and I listened, and here are these kids, including Alex, going along quoting the Beatitudes. These are kids who'd never heard of the Bible 6 months earlier and didn't know anything about the Lord, and they're going along saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," and all of these things. And I was just amazed. I was thinking, wow, they don't even know what they're saying, but here they are going along the streets of Rost, learning the Beatitudes and quoting them. She had a little contest, and she was going to give them some bubble gum or something if they memorized it. And well, I told you that the Word of God is powerful. It's living, and it works. It even works in the life of a little six-year-old ruffian, the worst kid in town. And it started changing him. I mean, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Maybe I shouldn't be beating people. Maybe, you know, 6 years old, a tough little guy. And he begins to change. And the people in the town begin to notice it. I mean, it wasn't too hard to notice because he was really bad before. And now he's starting to be mild and starting to be kind and helping people, carrying some water for them and that kind of thing. And the people said, "Alex, what in the world happened to you? You've changed. You don't swear anymore. You don't steal anymore." It sounds better in Romanian. It says, "Nu mai jură, nu mai fură." They said, "You're not doing those things and you're not beating up on the other kids. What happened to you?" He said, "Oh, Jesus has come to live in my heart. I can't do that. Nu pot fură, nu pot jură. Domnul Iisus este in mine. The Lord Jesus is in me," he said. And then he said, "I've repented. I'm pocăit. I repented," he said. Well, the people are amazed. Here's this six-year-old boy going around town telling people that he's repented and this has transformed his life. Well, just in the beginning of April, his parents come home from Spain. The kids are tough, but his parents are really tough. With Corrine, she's got scars where she's been cut, and the father would beat her up. And like I said, they've never been married, but they've got four children. They're just tough people. But they come home from Spain, and Alex and Alina, well, they're, all the children are different. Dennis, the menace, still has a little ways to go. But Alex, you know, they say, obviously it's a different kind of a young boy. And so they said to him, "Alex, what happened to you? You're not swearing. You're not stealing. You're not beating. He said, oh, Mommy and Daddy, Jesus has come inside of me, and I can't do those things anymore. He said, Mommy and Daddy, I've repented, and you need to repent. You should repent. We need Jesus in our family and in your lives. You ought to come with me to the church. Well, they did. And the second weekend in May, was it, honey? The second Sunday in May, I had the joy of baptizing that mother and that father, along with six others in that village. And the whole family, Alex, Alina, even Dennis, and the father, Damaskeen, and Corina, stood in front of the church and sang a song of praise to the Lord and gave testimony that the Lord had come into their life. What a transformed household. And that transformation is evident in that community. Whereas he would beat her before and she'd follow along behind, that is his wife. They got married, by the way. They got married, and we held a wedding banquet, such as you can, a little celebration for them. And she said, this is the happiest day in my whole life. And what a marvelous thing to see the Word of God at work in lives and transforming little children, transforming a whole family, and beginning a transformation really in that whole community, because things like that don't happen without people knowing it. When our lives begin to change, and when we live a godly, changed life that's very different from the world, people notice it, and people want to know, and then we have an opportunity too to say, Jesus lives in me. I'm different because I know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has a plan for you. And I just feel like we all need to be transformed, and to more and more in this day of when folks are insecure and folks are needy, and they are all over the world, and even here in Puyallup, we need to say, Lord, make me one in whom Jesus dwells in a way that people can see it, and make me one who can be an influence in transforming others' lives. I'd like to just take a moment and pray with you. If God can use a six-year-old boy and work in his life and transform him and make him a powerful witness in his community, certainly can use all of us, and that's one of the great purposes of Lighthouse, I know, to be a beacon in this community and really around the world. Now let's just bow together in a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and I'm praying with those who have gathered here in your house on this Saturday night in Puyallup, and perhaps there are some here who have never been fully transformed, who don't really know Jesus as their Savior, and they're living the old way and without your power and without your strength. And I pray for them tonight, Lord, that you would come into their lives, that you would save them, forgive their sins, that they would open their hearts to you. And Lord, for those who are Christians, I pray that you would give us a fresh power and fresh zeal to serve you and to let others know that there's a God who makes a difference in lives, that a God who helps us to talk differently than the world, help us to live differently than the world, and a God who gives us power to share his transforming power with others. Lord, I pray it with a grateful heart, sure that you will do more than we've asked or imagined. For I pray it in that name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.